Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello and welcome to a Project Love real love story. And today I'm joined by Sam Garris.
Hello.
Sam is our first male to join the Real Love Story gang. First of many, we hope. Welcome, Sam.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So to start, I'd just like to hear the story of how you and Alice first met.
Okay. Well, as you've probably heard in Alice's interview, we met in a club on Crucifix Lane, South London. It was warmish. I think it was sort of springtime, and it was pretty grimy, and it was, without sounding cliche, sort of a story of fate, because the promoters had some troubles with the original venue and it got swapped to this one in Crucifix Lane, and both of us independently were going to decide not to go, but me and my friend Paulie decided to go. We ended up there, and in the cloakroom queue, he was trying to get my attention and sort of annoying Alice, basically. And so Alice kind of got fed up and just shouted my name, and I turned around and there's this really lovely looking girl behind me, and I was a bit confused, but anyway, that's the first time I saw her, and then I kind of followed her around the club for a while, and then just sort of talked to her a bit, got to know her, and then just definitely followed her around the club.
What were you thinking in that moment when you saw her in the queue?
I was just thinking, you know, great looking girl, just looked like fun. It's not something I normally would do, but it just felt good, and I offered to buy her a drink and we got chatting. I think the worst part about the night was that we started doing the normal conversation, like, you know, what do you do for a living? And she said, well, I'm an investment banker. And I just laughed. And that's just like, I mean, I think about that now, how cringy that is. And she said, and she's like, what's so funny? I was like, well, you know, really, what do you do? She's like, no, I'm an investment banker. And I just laughed again. It was just, I think about it now and I think it was so chauvinist.
Well, you obviously said something, right?
Yeah. Well, she stuck with it. She's like, well, you know, are women not allowed to be investment bankers? I was like, no, of course they are. Sorry. I just, you know, just didn't look like it. And she, I don't know what an investment banker looked like, but at the time she didn't. But we hit it off, and we danced for a bit, and I suppose the most memorable part of the evening was kissing her, because it seemed to go on for a very, very, very long time. And it was one of those, it sounds so sort of like Hugh Grant film, but it's one of those sort of kisses that I've not experienced before, where you just sort of get lost in it. And that was it was just incredible. And we did it for ages until someone basically tapped us on the shoulder. Alice said, listen, be careful, you're going to get your hair cut in the fan behind you. And that's when we stopped. And then that was it. Yeah, we went home together, woke up the next day, hung out, and it was great.
And would you say at the time of meeting Alice that you were looking for love?
Absolutely not. No, I'd just come out of a long-term relationship, and I was adamant I was going to be single and promiscuous for as long as possible. and I wasn't looking for it at all. It was a pretty messy breakup. Just wanted to go out and hang out with friends and just live an independent life.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice came along, which was really good for me, obviously, in the end. But at the time, I think it was a little tricky, definitely.
Mm.
But I wasn't looking for love, no.
So when you met Alice, were you kind of, when you say it was tricky, were you kind of trying to weigh up what you thought you wanted and what transpired to be something that was actually really good for you?
Absolutely. I don't think I knew what was good for me at the time. And it was just, the more we hung out, the more it seemed like this is really good. But the more we hung out, I decided that, oh, right, I'm getting deeper into this. Is this what I want? And kept questioning it. And, you know, at the time I was still even though I was cohabitating with my ex-girlfriend, even though she wasn't there, I was living in a shared house with friends that we rented a room together. She was away. Yeah, I was still in that house, still with all those sort of memories and all that paraphernalia you surround yourself with.
Mm.
So it wasn't the best start to relationship. It could have been really clean cut and gone to the next, but it was fraught with sort of, do I want to get into another relationship? Is this woman right for me? She's not like, she's so different than to the other girls I've been out with, and it was tricky. And I think I caused Alice and myself inadvertently a lot of strife and not pain, but it was pretty tricky. I'm surprised she stuck with it, to be honest. I really am. I mean, she saw something that I didn't, I think.
And where do you think that comes from? You know, when you kind of mentioned the questioning of, is this the girl I want to be with? And she's different, and, you know, the kind of analysis. Do you consciously know where that comes from?
No, I mean, not me personally, no. It's more instinctual, and I don't know about other people, but it's a lot about just following what feels right and what's come before and what you think constitutes as a good relationship or what you want from or what you think you want from a relationship. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I've realized that what I thought I wanted from a relationship actually transpires that it's almost the opposite, and what I wasn't expecting from a relationship ends up being what I needed.
What we found in Project Love and the women that we coach is that they have very specific requirements of what they think they want. And as you mentioned, sometimes what you think you want and what you need are very different, but it only transpires through experimenting and being open to being surprised. Some of the women that we've interviewed as well have said that who they're with are not the people that they thought they'd be with. And if they hadn't opened up to experimenting, then they'd never realise that. I think it's when you focus your mind onto a specific criteria, then your attention window is so limited that you only see that specific person.
Sounds like all the things that you might look for in a relationship are the things that you should be bringing to it. You know what I mean?
So,
I mean, I never thought of it that way, really, but it just so happens that all the things I don't think I was ever looking for anything in a relationship, but I knew what I wanted. There's a sort of a lineage between the people I've been going out with and certain traits, but what I wanted was just sort of security, unconditional love, and a bit of laughter.
Yeah.
Which is, and you know, plenty of affection and hugs and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I've never approached a relationship with real criteria.
Mm.
You know, I don't think I was ever mature enough to do that or to have that like conscious thought that, you know, right, I'm going into a relationship. What am I looking for? What are the traits I need? I've never been that calculated or organized.
Yeah.
Or possibly intelligent enough. The thing about meeting Alice was that was literally was just snogging her. How that felt.
Mm-hmm.
It was so, you know, it was a lot of emotion wrapped into it, but it was so sort of. I've never had that before, and consistently surprises me how I feel, how she makes me feel when I kiss her, which is quite it's such a human thing, isn't it? And you expect it not to be very different from one person to the next, but with this one person, it's particularly special.
How did you know that this relationship was different to anything that you'd experienced before?
I don't know that it was to begin with. It was the first 6 months, like we said, were pretty intense and quite sort of fraught with sort of anxieties on both sides and what was if it was right and were we right for each other, that kind of stuff, which I'm sure many people go through. But I suppose we stuck with it and it just sort of grew and we sort of began to understand each other a bit more and we began to sort of realise each other's limitations and what pushed each other and what angered each other and that kind of thing and what we needed from each other, and that sort of grew, and that's happened in other relationships but not to this extent, not to where we knew how to be for the other person, if you know what I mean, how to be a positive part of the relationship instead of a negative, whereas in other relationships it's never got to that point where it's always been sort of a lot of, well, in my experience, a lot of sort of arguments, fighting, and maybe that's because we were younger, but in the beginning of this relationship, there was a lot of arguing, a lot of fighting, whereas now there's very little. We've sort of got that out of the way now.
Mm.
We can sort of get on with it, get on with understanding each other, understanding each other's limitations, and leaving the room when we piss the other person off, or all that kind of stuff. So I suppose in that sense, it's different. we've found our own way of communicating, Alice and I.
And
I think actually I think one thing I brought to the relationship is making Alice communicate with me. Like actually, you know, to the point where it's probably annoyed her. It's like, listen, we need to sit down, we need to talk to this, whereas I'm sure she would just like to forget about it and move on. Which sometimes really works, but I think mostly people benefit from communicating their issues, and it's really important. I think that's what my parents taught me as well, communicate. And at the end of it, it's just like, okay, I understand why you did this when I said this, or that kind of thing. And now we're in a place now where it's just the smallest argument or the smallest little thing, and then it's gone. You know?
And what kind of things have you, has she taught you?
Oh, God, no end of things. The way I'm going to say this sounds strange, but the value of myself. So the value of myself within within work, how to show your employer or the person who's employing you, excuse me, what you're worth, knowing your worth. She's instinctually known that for as long as I've known her, and how best to sort of let people know that it's sort of a show of confidence, really, in what she does.
Yeah, I get the sense from the two of you, and this is something that came up in Alice's interview, that you both really help each other to grow. And I guess the most tangible effects of that have been both of you in your careers.
What we've been going through now with her work is that she's recently been given a promotion, and there's a big drive within her industry to promote women. So we realise now in the relationship that we're both feminists, but I was the feminist that brought the feminist out in her.
Great.
And we talk a lot about how to establish empowerment and how to and actually not just talk about feminism, but equalism, and how there's a big push within the industry to promote women. But right now it's not just about women's issues, maybe it's just about equality as a whole, you know. And I think that was quite unexpected for us to have those conversations. She didn't think that I was maybe of that thought process. And that's been really nice. That's brought us close together, and hopefully in some way I've had a small impact on her already prestigious career. It makes me so proud just to be part of what she's achieving and what she's helping other people to achieve in her industry. It's amazing. You know, she's the first person in her particular section of business to be made a managing director as a woman, which is crazy when you say it out loud. It's just insane.
Has anything surprised you about yourself or about the relationship?
Anything surprising? That's a tricky question. It's surprising how easily I've been able to settle down to it, I suppose. And it's surprising that I'm married, whereas when I was, you know, I suppose five years ago, I never thought I would be or get married, because obviously I hadn't met the right person. That's quite surprising, I suppose.
Yeah.
Never saw myself as being sort of having an habitual lifestyle and sort of living not by the clock, but like getting up a certain time, working till a certain time, having dinner, that kind of stuff. I've never had that in my life before, so that's a new thing, and it's very welcome, because it's brought structure to my life, which is probably what's been missing and what Alice has, I think, had her whole life. She's sort of instinctually a structural person, and she's sort of brought that, which has helped to anchor me in my life, so I've kind of wrapped up in that, which is nice.
This is a juicy one. Looking back at the person you were before you met Alice, and with the wisdom and knowledge that you now have, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I mean, the advice I always give to my younger self would be, and this sounds a bit melodramatic, but it would get help sooner. So that would mean, you know, what's happened in your life to lead up to now, some turbulent times, talk to someone about that, and get some clarification on those things that happened in your earlier life that will allow you to sort of move forward in later life. So that advice, and I think that's sort of, you don't know who you're going to be, and all those things that made you who you are now are all part and parcel of it. So it's really difficult to give my younger self advice other than don't be too much of a dick. You know, be nicer to people. Don't take yourself too seriously. You're not as cool as you think you are. All right? And it's not going to get any easier. You're going to get more questions throughout life, all that kind of stuff. So, but the one overriding thing is, you know, yeah, be nice to people and yeah, get help sooner, which sounds really melodramatic, but if, you know, if we elaborate on that, it would just, yeah.
And what kind of help do you mean? Do you mean like talking to friends, or do you mean professional help?
Yeah, no, professional help, talking to friends, you know, just like stop trying to
do everything on your own.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So, you know, just be a bit more open about things, because that's the best way you can be, is open with people and honest and not trying to be God and all that kind of stuff. So I think so. I think that's what I'd say to my younger self.
Well, that's one of the things that we encourage women to do in our Get Ready for Love workshops and the course that we're designing at the moment. It's kind of encouraging women to really understand who they are, really discover who they are and what they want, and to make sense of past relationships sometimes as well, because then once you go into a new relationship with clarity and understanding in yourself, you come from a much more kind of compassionate place. You're really accepting of yourself, and you kind of accept your flaws, and you can't be perfect, and that's fine, you know, and from that place everything's a little bit easier. One of the key lessons that we've learned at Project Love is that there's an art of loving, and that it requires knowledge and effort, and then we can actually hone this skill and increase our capacity to love. Mm-hmm. And if love is a skill and it can be taught and developed, then it means we can all learn, and we all must learn from somewhere. Have there been any key people in your life who have been your teachers? And if not, then how did you learn how to love?
Well, the obvious are my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Individually and together, they had unconditional love for each other, which was apparent all the time in our household, and they had unconditional love for me and my brother, which, I mean, I've never felt not loved, and it's sort of an amazing thing when you think about it. They were nurturing, they were kind, they were generous. My mum is sort of forgiving and kind, almost to a fault with the way that she is, you know, and my dad was generous to a fault and loving, and he had a great sense of humour and all those things, you know, he laid on to me and my brother, which is great.
What do you think are the key ingredients of a healthy and happy relationship?
I mean, the obvious things, the ones that my parents taught me, which my mum consistently like tells me, is like, you know, you've got to communicate, you've got to be honest, there's no relationship without trust, Sam. That's what she keeps telling me. I'm like, yeah, obviously, you know, thanks, Mum. And, you know, you've got to make sure Alice feels desired and stuff like that. I'm like, Mum, come on. Like,
yeah.
Is that important? I'm like, yeah, no, that's important. Thank you. I think sex is really important. Obviously, having it is really important. It's that one time where you feel, you know, it's like non-verbal intimacy and non-verbal communication. It's an integral part of a relationship. Those really intimate moments, like you're not doing anything, you're just sitting around, reading a book, watching TV, maybe not watching TV, but listening to music, where it's just very, you know, like the curtains are drawn, it's just very sort of a closed space. Those are quite intimate moments. I think those, and just making time for each other and having time for yourself, I think, yeah. I feel like, you know, they're quite obvious things, but yeah, communicating, talking, hugs are really important. Actually, I find that if Alice and I have ever an argument or anything like that, or a little tiff, it's like it's not that I can't stay angry, it's just like I just want to be back closer to her, so I kind of force it to make me hug, make us have a hug, and then everything's better. So that's quite important.
Well, hugging actually releases the love hormone as well, so it makes you feel better instantly. One of our friends, Becky, she was telling me in LA there was a couple that she met on the beach, and they had a rule that every time they argued they'd hold hands. And it's really hard to argue with someone holding hands. I would love to be able to try that one day. When I'm angry, I can be quite stubborn and like not want to, like, I don't want to sulk and kind of fold my arms, but
very LA.
What's the best piece of relationship advice that you've ever heard?
Maybe that. Maybe hold hands while you're arguing.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. I really like that. I mean, not that I've ever had any practice of it, but, you know, it sort of ties in with the hugs. But, yeah, just...
Oh, hug. Hug yeah. Straight after an
argument. Yeah, communicate. That's one thing my dad always taught me. Anything like that, you just always talk about it.
Mm.
And I think I've been in a lot of relationships where the people I've been with haven't want to talk at all. Mm. And I've been that annoying person where I do want to talk. And I'm sure it can be a bit frustrating, but I do think communicating at the appropriate times is integral to understanding each other and understanding the problems.
Mm. Yeah, it felt like within the first 6 months you were saying you and Alice really discovered a lot about each other through the arguments that you had, and it means that you don't really have them now because you kind of understand each other's boundaries and limitations.
And I think if we have an argument, Alice is just like, all right, well, we're going to have to talk about it. So she's just
she
avoiding
knows.
The conversation, avoiding communicating. He's going to want to talk, so we're just like... You know,
just I'm just not going to bring it up.
Yeah. Exactly.
You probably get away with a lot more now.
I do.
Well, thank you, Sam, so much for taking the time to be grilled.
Thanks.
It's not easy when, you know, I'm asking you the same questions as I would a woman, but I think it's so interesting for single women out there that are looking to get into a healthy and happy relationship like you have, just to hear it from a man's point of view, really. So thank you so much.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast show. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're feeling stuck in your love life and finding dating to be frustrating and exhausting, then come and join Get Ready for Love, our 30-day online course to transform your love life. As well as having us, Selena and Vicky, as your co-pilots throughout your journey, bringing you a lesson every day and videos and audio tutorials bursting with energy and love, you'll also be welcomed into our private Facebook group, The Love Zone, where you can hang out with like-minded women and ask for help and guidance whenever you need it. It really is gorgeous in there. Head over to loveprojectlove.com/get-ready-for-love to sign up. And if you'd like to find out more about love coaching with me, Vicky, then head to Coaching and Courses over on loveprojectlove.com.